What that last guy said strikes me as just about right. Staying realistic and curious seems like a road to contentment. For artists, that's a balancing act. You've got to embrace new challenges while sticking to your vision. I went to go see somebody who should know all about this.
Hi, it's Kurt Anderson.
Okay. Elliot Carter is one of the most revered classical music composers living and working today. The title Living Legend seems right. He's best known for his inventive, rhythmically complex scores for orchestra. He started working when modernism was brand new. Carter's work can be challenging to listen to, but the guy behind it is surprisingly plain-spoken and funny.
Hi. Hello. All my mess is everywhere, and there's been somebody took a picture of it.
Elliot Carter is 100 years old, and he's still composing.
Here's where I want to sit, right there.
Right there? Okay.
His hearing isn't perfect, and he walks slowly, but he's energized and clued in and totally alive.
Well, now you're going to ask some leading questions.
Well, I'm going to ask some leading questions.
Okay.
So, you turned 100.
Yeah, that's right.
How'd you celebrate?
I went to Carnegie Hall and had a piece played with Baron Boehm playing the piano and Levine conducting. I wrote that especially for my birthday. They had asked me to do that. Was a commission from the Boston Symphony. Baron Boehm had this idea 3-4 years ago and arranged it so that the Carnegie Hall would be free on that night. It was all worked out.
That shows a great faith on everybody's part that you'd be around to be there, yes?
Well, I had lots. I have lots of faith.
You were a kid in New York City.
Oh, yeah, I've lived here all my life.
What was it like, you know, as a child? Where did you live growing up here?
I was born on 95th Street between Riverside Drive and West End Avenue. This was all during the First World War, so that I saw British warships in the Hudson during that time. When I was a kid, for instance, I could get in a bicycle and ride down Broadway and get down to Battery Park and back without seeing many automobiles. And now you couldn't do that. It's very dangerous.
And when you were 15 in 1924, 11 years after Rite of Spring had premiered in Paris, it premiered here in New York.
Well, that's what knocked me out. That's what gave me the idea I ought to be a composer.
Had you heard a recording of it by that point or not?
No, I'd never heard it until I heard it here with, I think it was the Boston Symphony and Pierre Bonteux did it. And I was just knocked out. It was just great. Of course, half the audience walked out, too.
Really? Even then, even in 24?
You bet.
And you knew Stravinsky?
I got to know Stravinsky toward the end of his life, yes. I dedicated my piano concerto to him. And he wrote nice things about my music at different times.
He wrote very nice things about your music, saying they were masterpieces in the 60s, for instance.
I guess that's he must have a little crazy.
In the last 50 years, 60 years, since the war, do you have a sense of what was the single most surprising or adventurous turn you took in your music? Was there a moment then you did something that was risky?
Well, I think everything is pretty risky. But, I wrote my third string quartet is perhaps the most difficult to play. It carried out the ideas with many different layers of music going on simultaneously, different, and also different rhythms and different harmonies, all those things. And that carried it to a great extreme. I was very interested in doing that at that time. You know, you like to go to the end of one idea and see where it lands, where you land. So that piece is a... But I see the people play... The Pacifica Quartet seems to get around and play it a lot, which surprises me a little bit.
you seem to me like such a cheerful person, a calm person. Yet your music is tends to be nervous and edgy. Is there any contradiction there?
Well, I don't know about that. I'm pretty edgy myself.
Really? Well, I guess appearances are deceiving.
People say it's full of humor, but maybe you translate that into edginess. I don't know.
Does being 100 feel any different to you than being 70 or 60?
Well, I don't think you'd be here if I was 70 or 60.
But I'm talking about what it feels like to you.
The only thing that I'm aware of is different is I get tired more quickly. I'm not aware, and I have a little trouble walking. I lose my balance a little more easily than I used to, but I'm not aware of any really serious thing. I suppose one calls that luck, unless it's a disaster. I'm not sure.
How does aging change your process as a composer?
Well, I don't think it changed. The only way I can say that it changed, I compose just as I always have. As I say, it's always an adventure, so I'm constantly trying to find new things I haven't done. But I also am aware that I would like to have pieces finished, and so I'm a little impatient. Before, I could have a patience for a piece for a whole year. Now it's more like a week.
And when you're working, how many hours a day are you writing?
Well, I work 2 hours in the morning and about two or three in the afternoon. Take a nap, go out for a walk, and read a book. And in the night after dinner, I can't do anything. I'm too like a zombie. So I read Shakespeare. It keeps me awake.
And when you listen to recorded music, you listen to CDs here in your apartment?
Oh, yeah, but I stick to my Mozart operas. I love those, and I play them over and over.
Listening to Mozart operas and reading Shakespeare sounds like a very comfortable...
Yeah, I think you see, the thing that interests me about Mozart is the thing that I've tried so often to do in my life, and that is to make music that is constantly changeable. Mozart must have gotten that largely from writing operas, that having the people change their character. And I like that. I've tried to write music that's very flexible and goes from one thing to another rather quickly, which is rather contrary to what most people do now, who stick to one thing for a long time. In fact, they don't even have to write it out. You just write it at the ditto sign.
And then punch the button, right?
Yeah.
Thank you very much for letting us hear.
Oh, thank you very much.
And happy birthday.
You. Thank you, Kurt.
We've got some pictures of my visit with Elliot Carter at Studio360.org, and you can find out where his music will be played around the world this year in celebration of his 100th birthday. Coming up, we pay a visit to a nursing home.
He said Saturday, I think.
You think?
Full of retired actors.
But what Saturday? And is it Saturday?
Waiting for Godot in New Jersey. That's ahead in Studio 360 from PRI, Public Radio International, and WNYC. Stay with us.